and welcome to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have TJ Overstreet today. Hi, TJ.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming in. So you are the executive pastor at The River.
Yes, ma'am.
But that's like kind of a more recent, relatively,
it is
adventure for you. Mm-hmm. So how long have you been at The River?
A little over a year, probably about 15 months or so now.
So really relatively
right,
new.
Right.
But you are just kind of this leader in the community. And so that's kind of why I wanted you raised your eyebrows like, what? Like, what? I mean, and I think it is kind of you and your wife, Casey, kind of.
She's the leader. Let's be honest.
Well, she kind of drags you into a lot of things. So you are really involved.
I do come willingly.
Okay. So it's not dragged. No. Walk hand in hand.
Yeah, there's a little bit of voluntold that comes along with the volunteering, but that's okay too.
Yes. Yeah. But you're really, I mean, you're involved in a lot of the things that she's involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a leader in the Rising Above Ministries. And so we'll get into a lot of this, as we go, but so tell me a little bit. So you're from here.
Yes. Really yes and no, right? Like we moved here when I was 5 years old, but my mom and dad were both born in the Putnam County over to in Fentress County area. So
where were you born?
I was born in Franklin, Tennessee.
Which, I mean, it's still Tennessee.
Yeah, it's still Middle Tennessee.
But yeah, I mean, even when you were born, I'm guessing Franklin was a much bigger booming area than Cookeville.
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, it a little bit different, but we were only there a year. So my father was with Big K, was bought out by Walmart. And he was a change agent for that company. And so they moved him very frequently. So first 5 years of my life, we lived in five different places. So I really
all
don't.
All in the Tennessee?
They were not. We lived in Illinois. We lived in Alabama. We lived in Kentucky all in my first 5 years. And it's kind of funny. They had asked my father to take another position after his 12th, 14th, 16th move. I can't remember. And he said, you know what? I think it's time for me to go home. We were actually in Illinois at that time. And so he said, I'm going to take my boys and I want to raise them at home. And so we landed back in Putnam County in Cookeville in 1983.
And that's, I mean, that seems to be there's a lot of boomerang families that
absolutely.
Go out. And even yourself, you were in Murfreesboro for
absolutely.
A while and you kind of, what were you doing? So you went to Tech?
I did.
And then you guys went to Murfreesboro.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what were you, I know Casey was doing, fitness stuff. What were you doing?
Yeah, after I got out of college here at Tech, I was working for a local surveying firm and had some contacts within the construction industry. And a friend of mine that worked, still works for, or did work for Rogers Group Incorporated, reached out and said, hey, we've got a position open in the Rutherford County, Murfreesboro area. I think you'd be a good fit for it. Would you be willing to talk to us? And at that time, I really believed, hey, this is home. This is where I'm always going to be. I have no desire to leave, you know, leave Cookeville. But I said, sure. You know, I learned a long time ago to not close a door that God might be opening, you know, and just at least let him close the door. And so we just started some dialogue, had some conversations, and one thing led to another. And Casey and I had been married for a couple of years, but we didn't have any children at the time. And if we were going to make a transition and make a move, that was the right time to do it. Mm-hmm. And so we did, and we moved to Murfreesboro.
And so, and how long were you in Murfreesboro for?
We were there for about 7.5, almost 8 years.
Wow. So, yeah. I mean, a significant amount of time.
Yeah, we were a decent amount of time.
So did you think, kind of when you moved there, did you think you were going to be a boomerang family, or did you think?
I don't think so. I don't think we necessarily thought that maybe we would be there forever, but we were making it home.
Mm-hmm.
We've got great friends still there. Had a great church family there that we got involved with, and we were starting to try to get involved in the community. That's just kind of our heart. Wherever we are, we want to pour into.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're doers.
We are. That's kind of how we're wired. I don't know that we even looked that far ahead.
Yeah.
It wasn't really until we had our first child, until Will was born, that we even thought about like, what might the next season look like? Like, what might life look like when he starts school? And we had actually kind of had some conversations of, man, we would really love for him to experience what we did growing up. And not that Murfreesboro, Rutherford County didn't have that, but it was different. I mean, it's a bigger city.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Cookeville. And I
think part of Murfreesboro is that it's just so much closer to the bigger, you know, it's so much closer
right.
to Nashville. And so it's kind of a little more sprawling. I don't know if Murfreesboro itself is,
We're a pocket of goodness right here in Cookeville. Yes. That's just what it is.
Yeah. So I just mentioned how you guys are doers. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that was, and I said you, the two of you, yep. Do you think that that was you growing up as well? You know, TJ without TJandCasey.com.
Right.
TJandCaseyOverstreet.com. Let's make it right. So do you think that was TJ growing up kind of?
Yeah, I think that's something that my father instilled in me. He had a great work ethic, and he always expected the best out of all of us. I mean, he didn't put overwhelming pressures on us, but he wanted us to do the best. And so he worked hard. I saw that, and he was just a doer. If something needed to get done, he figured out a way to do it. He wasn't a man of great means, but he figured out a way to do it.
Was that where the philanthropic part of it came from too? Because it's, I mean, you're not just a doer. You're mm-hmm. not just a hard worker. You have a heart for this community.
Yeah. I think the underlying tone there, I really believe, as you know, I'm a man of faith, and I believe that that is part of what God placed in us, and Casey and I both as believers, is that we are to love others. And the best way to love others is, and the only way to love others is those that are around you, and getting involved and trying to help in every way that you can. And so I think growing up in the church, my parents had us in church. I tell people that I was drugged to go to church. You know, every time the doors
were open.
Yeah, I was drugged to church. But I love it. You know, I look back on those days and have some of the fondest memories, and it really instilled a lot in me and built the character of kind of who I am and the undergirding of who I am. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's kind of where that philanthropic passion comes from.
Yeah, just when growing up. In case you're just joining us, we have TJ Overstreet, who is currently the executive pastor at The River, but kind of just an all-around advocate for the Cookeville community.
I would agree. Yeah.
And so speaking of that, you have also been involved with Rising Above Ministries. Mm-hmm. So give us just a short little 1-2 sentence on what Rising Above is.
Rising Above Ministries is a ministry designed to pour into the lives of special need families. Growing up, I was in a special needs family. It looked different back then than it does now, but it was still the same, you know.
And so your brother mm-hmm. has Down syndrome?
Yeah, my brother Ivan, who's older, a little older than me, has Down syndrome. So the term special needs family was not necessarily coined then, but we were, you know, I've always been a special needs, part of a special needs family.
Well, and I'm guessing that as your brother was growing up, there wasn't even a thought process of what that did, what you needed as a brother, what mm-hmm. your parents needed as parents, or any of the support. It was like, okay, there's a child with Down syndrome, and here's medically what he needs. Mm-hmm. Here's kind of educationally what to get by.
Yeah, it was a different day. However, I will say that Putnam County and the Putnam County school system, as we were growing up, kind of Ivan and I kind of went through school at the same speed, and right, we were in elementary school the same time, junior high the same time, and high school the same time. Putnam County did a great job pouring into my brother and educating him and doing everything that they could to really love on him mm-hmm. and to try to develop him and grow him. So kudos to the Putnam County School System for that, even back, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s.
That's really amazing to hear. And now you have a special needs son yourself.
We do. Mm-hmm.
A son with Down syndrome.
Right.
And Ollie, tell me about the difference between seeing Ivan grow up and how the resources that Ollie has.
Right.
Of what's changed over the last 30 years.
Oh, it's been dramatic.
Yeah.
I mean, I can just think of as we've started getting Ollie into school, and he's in the school system, and he loves it. They love him, and we're so grateful. But there's just, they had occupational therapies, they had physical therapies and those types of things for Ivan, but they weren't as robust as they are now. And obviously, I think technology has helped tremendously.
Ollie, well, and research and knowledge, right?
It has, absolutely.
So I used to teach high school myself, okay. And so I was very aware of, I worked with a special, an instructional assistant.
Sure.
That, with autism spectrum, and she would say, oh, he can do his math. And it's like, Yeah, like I think the old thought process is like we don't really know what's going on inside their head because we can't communicate sometimes with depending on the needs and stuff. But there's just so much more research out there. And here's the way to communicate and here's the way to get, you know, or how to educate.
Well, and let's be honest, I think children with special needs are looked at different today than they were then too. It was good, bad, or indifferent. It was just the lack of knowledge. But now I think we understand that there are capacities and capabilities that all children have, and we want to bring the best out of all of them.
Yeah.
And I think that our community has done a great job of doing that, not only in the school systems, but in our churches, in all types of organizations.
And in ministries like Rising Above. So
absolutely.
Rising Above provides resources for families, like you said, whether it's conferences or just meetups or activities. There's a huge Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
And so are you on the board there?
I am. I do. I serve on that board. And it, you know, Rising Above has made a huge impact in a lot of people's lives because it does look different as a special needs family, right? And it looks different to be a mom of a special needs child. It looks different to be the father of a special needs child. And those individuals, they need a little bit of extra support in a different way and encouragement in a different way. And Rising Above comes alongside and does that. But also not only the support for those families, but for organizations that may want to be able to accommodate and reach out to special needs families, helps educate them and train them and bring them along so that when you do see a family with someone with special needs, you need to understand they're just a family. They're just like everybody else. There may be some quirks. There may be some differences, but they're a child of God, and they need to be loved, and they want to be loved, and they just want to be a part. And so Rising Above does a great job of training and educating across the spectrum.
Realizing that there are some special needs, there's needs of the family.
Right.
In order to, I think some people think, I don't want to say anything, you know, I don't want to acknowledge.
I don't want to, absolutely.
I don't want to acknowledge that they have a special needs child.
Right.
So we're just going to pretend it's not. And it's like, but that's okay. You know, people know they have a special needs
absolutely.
Child.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
And so to put out the proper support is really necessary.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're going to get back into a little bit more of this in a second.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have TJ Overstreet, Executive Pastor at The River. So we were just kind of talking about your leadership position at The River. How has serving on boards kind of shaped your path of career and your leadership in this community?
It's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because Casey has told me that apparently that's one of my hobbies, is serving on boards. I am honored that I even have the opportunity to serve on boards. It's really been it's been a great thing for me, just from a personal growth standpoint, and being around just exceptional human beings and learning from them, and just being able to put a little piece in here and there is always nice. But yeah, serving on boards has really grown me. It's taught me a lot. It's helped me understand a little bit more how important, not that I've not always known how important teamwork is, but also how important it is to see things from other people's perspectives. And that's what I love about the boards that I'm a part of. You know, it's a collective group of people from different walks of life that see things in a different way, but yet can collectively and collaboratively come together and discuss a topic or address an issue
and or come push up, for a certain drive.
Or push for a certain in a common way, mm-hmm. in a logical way, in a loving way. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of that all the puzzle pieces.
Absolutely.
And not any of the puzzle pieces look the same,
nope.
But they all fit together and make this beautiful picture. I've kind of noticed that on some committees. It's like, I'm really good about certain things.
Absolutely.
And I cannot do those things, and I need that person. And sometimes that person drives me crazy, but I need that person to kind of help make the whole puzzle complete.
Absolutely.
So we talked a little bit. You went to Murfreesboro for Rogers Group,
mm-hmm.
and then you came back to Cookeville, and you were still working for Rogers Group.
I was. Mm-hmm.
Which is a really big industry in this area,
right,
that
absolutely.
I think kind of gets overlooked sometimes.
Yeah, it does.
So Rogers Group is a
construction and aggregates, and they do paving as well. So, yeah.
And so what were you doing when you were, once you came back to Cookeville, what was your position there?
I was actually doing sales from the aggregate standpoint, from the quarry standpoint, but also doing estimating and project management from the construction standpoint. So I kind of have a dual role when we moved back to the Cookeville area.
So did that give you kind of the business sense of kind of where you've gone with your career path since then? Is that where you...
Yeah, I would say that I learned my business savvy, if you will, there. I kind of, you know, cut my teeth there. However, my dad was an entrepreneur. He had his own business. And so I was able to watch and understand how business operate there and just kind of put that in practice in the corporate setting, if mm-hmm. you will, with Rogers Group.
Yeah. And then, so at some point, you and Casey started, I think she did drag you along, if I know the
she
story
did.
With
yep,
that.
That's true.
So she started an AdvoCare business, mm-hmm. and she kind of drug you into that. And then you said, okay, I guess this works.
Right.
And you decided to quit your full-time job and you guys did that full-time. And that's kind of where mm-hmm. the path of life was leading you.
Right.
And so how was that?
It was different because I never saw that coming. I mean, most things in life you don't see coming,
right.
anyways. However, looking back, I think when we first moved back to Cookeville, the thought was, all right, we're back home, and this is where we'll be. I love the industry that I was in. I love the company that I was with, and I didn't see that changing. I just kind of felt like that this is where our career is going to be. And we had begun building our AdvoCare business while we were still in Murfreesboro. Actually, we actually started the business. She started the business to help fund the adoption for our son, Ollie, who you mentioned earlier. We adopted Ollie from Ukraine when he was 1 year old, and we were looking for a way to help fund that because adoptions are not cheap,
mm-hmm.
But they're so totally worth it. So we had started the business for that, and it kind of took on a life of its own. A part of that business is helping people, and we love helping people. And so it just kind of, it grew, and it got to the point that Casey looked at me one day and just said, I think you could come home. You know, the finances were great and good, but there was a piece of me that was like, I like the routine. I like the consistency. I like the comfort, if you will, uh-huh. a little bit of where I am. And so there was a lot of thought and prayer that went into that. But I think the realization kind of hit me. We had our three oldest, all boys at that time. And it kind of hit me that I had not heard their first words or seen their first steps. I don't look back and say I regret that. I would love to have been there, and it wasn't the job that necessarily kept me from that. But with this new opportunity, we knew we were going to be expecting our fourth child, and I might have that opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, to spend a little bit more time with my daughter, and so that was kind of what kind of pushed me over the edge.
Well, and how was that as a man?
Yeah.
I think that that's definitely a different situation of a man leaving quote unquote the corporate world,
right.
to a direct sales multi-level marketing mm-hmm. company. How was that?
It was a bit, I almost wanted to say scary, but it really wasn't. Casey and I are very confident in mm-hmm. not only who we are, but what we've been called to. And so we didn't take it very lightly. We knew that if this was the next step for us, that we were going to courageously step into it, and we were going to attack it full force, just like we did.
Doers.
Yeah, because that's just who we are. So there was nothing, there was probably not much in our mind, if any, that there was an opportunity for failure. It was just, it was going to happen, and it was going to work. And so that's the way we approached it, and we walked through it that way.
Yeah. So, in case you're just joining us, that we have TJ Overstreet, executive pastor at The River, which we've not even touched on the fact that that's, I mean, you're just such an icon in Cookeville,
well, no,
and I know you wouldn't necessarily wear that hat yourself, but you are, and you, like I said, you've served on a lot of boards, and you really have a great heart for this community, and so you did the AdvoCare thing for a while, mm-hmm. and then God decides that you're not that. He's going to do a different...
Something different.
Yeah. So an opportunity came up for you to join the team at First Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And so what were you doing there?
I was the small groups and assimilation pastor at First Baptist.
And what made you think, yeah, let me go into ministry? I've been in corporate America.
Yeah,
I've, you know, been doing some sales, and now let me go into ministry.
Again, looking back in hindsight, I mean, I can just see how God walked me through and prepared me for every step of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It was after I'd left Rogers Group, and we were doing AdvoCare full time. I was working on remodeling our home and helping build a...
Which is interesting. Let me just stop you there. You keep saying, you know, oh, well, we were finally home. You literally are living in your childhood.
Yeah, yeah. I'm living in the house that that my father built, and I had the chance, and I'm still in the process of remodeling that home. But all in that same time helped build a home for my mom and dad.
So you really have come full time.
Full circle.
You've said that a couple times. Like we found, you know, we were back home in Cookeville, but it's like literally the same house.
We're back home. So it was during that process that that we were walking through building our business that I don't want to say that there was some unrest, but there was just some there was something stirring in me that said, I've got more for you. And I really believe that was the Holy Spirit just preparing me and saying, hey, I don't want you to settle into this comfort and to where you are. I've got something more for you. And so during that process, I was actually in a small group study with the lead pastor at the River, Steve Taboo. And I was talking through him with him and praying through some things with him. And he challenged me. He said, you know what? Have you ever thought about walking through the ordination process and getting into ministry? And in my mind, I quickly said no. But then there was this memory that popped up in my head of a time when I was in high school that I really felt like at some point in time, ministry might be what, you know, I was designed to do and to step into because I enjoyed working with people, helping people. And
well, and you were doing that somewhat in your own way.
Absolutely. And that's how I thought I was fulfilling mm-hmm. that. Like every step of the way, we were still helping people. I thought, okay, God, this is what you've got for me. It's not in a full-time mm-hmm. role, what you might think is a pastoral role or a ministerial role, but this is how you're going to use me. And I was great with that. But then there was just this unsettling, that was going on. And I finally, kind of gave into the pressure a little bit and started walking through that process, there at the River, because we were attending the River Community Church at that time. As I was walking through that, was still doing, some little projects on the side and was doing a project at First Baptist. And their senior pastor, Scott McKinney, had not been at First Baptist too horribly long, but I'd heard his story, how he had come out of the corporate world into ministry. And so I thought, what a unique opportunity for me to just pick the brain of somebody that's walked the steps that I think maybe God's leading me on. And so we just started a dialogue and having some conversations and a friendship blossomed there, and we were just... One thing kind of led to another, and they had a role, a position that was available, and they said, hey, would you consider doing this? And so I prayed a lot about it, but felt like, you know what, this is what God has for me next. And so we stepped back into it, which was kind of strange in that we keep talking about coming home, because I grew up attending First Baptist mm-hmm. here in Cookeville. And so that was kind of like coming full circle again, stepping back into the church home that I grew up in. And as I walked the halls, just had great memories of doing just stupid stuff that I probably don't want to tell people about. But it was a great God. Just he blessed us, you know, by stepping back into
Did
that.
You have memories of like getting the look during, you know, big church?
Oh, got a lot of those, the elbows, the look, the ear pull. There was a lot of that kind of stuff.
Which I'm sure now that you have three sons and a daughter in
absolutely
you're, you know, well, Casey probably,
it's kind of funny as we've walked through this COVID period, and we've not been able to attend worship services live there for several weeks, worshiping together at home with the family mm-hmm. and having all the kids there. It's like, oh, I get how my parents went through. My kids are down here wrestling and doing this and flipping pages, not paying attention. And they're like, hey, cut it out. Quit
right,
that.
Right.
Hoping nobody would listen or hear us, but nobody was there to hear us, right?
So how can people find you if they want to find you?
You probably don't want to find me.
At the river.
You can go to therivercc.com and you can go to the staff page. You can email me there.
Okay.
You can also find me on Facebook, on Twitter. I don't really follow social media much, but you can get me there.
At least I can find you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming in tonight. It was great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.